It Takes Two, Amy Eiler, J.J. Gordon. It's Foodie Friday, and we get to reach out to one of my favorite people on the planet, Scott Thomason with Pig Tamer Barbecue. Scott, it's been a weird year. Did you get to do some cook-offs yet this year?
Not this year, but we are eagerly preparing. It's coming soon.
You've had a whole year to prepare, then. What have you been up to?
Well, you know, we did get to cook in the later part of last year, but we were traveling many, many miles and many, many hours to hit those. So we have had the off season, and we are preparing for some steak cook-offs, actually.
So one of the things that I just think is so, it's funny to me, but it's not funny to Scott's family, I can tell you this. He has this great anecdote about how they have to practice so many times, right? So when his kids look at ribs and chicken, they're like, no, Dad, no! No, we're done. We can't eat another bite of this ever again in our lives. So that's great that you're adding steak. So now you can outsteak your family, right?
They are already to the outsteak point, unfortunately. Yeah.
Okay, so Scott, you're the first person who ever really educated me when it came to these steak cook-offs. I understand when people do a brisket or when they do ribs, but what does a steak competition look like?
Oh, steak competitions are popping up everywhere. SCA, or Steak Cooking Association, you know what? It's great for beginners and great for pros. We show up the day of. They provide steaks, and you draw to pick, if that makes sense. You get two ribeyes. That's all we cook is ribeyes. They're 1¼ inches thick, and the whole key is how it looks, how it tastes, tenderness, and then overall impression, they call it.
Okay. And so what kind of a cut are we talking about? Is it different things? I mean, is there something you prefer to cook?
Well, I prefer to cook strips, New York strips, but in steak cook-offs, it's always ribeye.
Always ribeye.
So tell us, what have you learned that you could give tips to just your average steak griller out there? They don't want to hit up a competition, but give us some of those tips and tricks you've learned while perfecting the steak, the ribeye steak.
So there's a few things that I think every home griller should have to elevate your game. And I've said, I think every time I've been on with you guys need an instant read thermometer. Okay, because that's how you're going to judge a doneness of your food. I don't want to hear people. I cringe when people are cutting into their steak on the grill to see if it's done. very simple to be done with an instant read thermometer.
Okay, so do you have a brand of thermometer that you're like, this is the only one I'll ever use?
So in my cook trailer, I own probably 6 different ThermoWorks products because they're reliable and they last forever.
Sure.
Okay, so I've got a great thermometer with me, and I am going to know what the doneness is, and I'm not going to use that trick with my hand where I'm touching the steak while it's cooking either to say, like, nope, my palm feels like it's medium. I think it's good.
Yeah, don't do that, because there's a lot of things that you can do to a steak in different cuts that's not the most reliable way to go.
And where should you be putting your thermometer to get the temperature of the meat?
You want it dead center.
Okay.
So I stab at a couple different places because different muscles, like on a ribeye, you got the spinalis that runs on top. That one is going to be cooked to a different temperature than, say, the main heart of the ribeye. And realistically, when you're poking steaks with thermometers, you get a chance to feel those meat fibers. And you get to know, you cook enough steaks, you know without looking at the temperature, this one's done, this one needs another 45 seconds or 2 minutes or whatever it may be.
Sure. And okay, so we've got our thermometer. What else is an essential?
So, you know what? Butter. I know people sometimes cringe and they want to use parquet and they want to use some of the fake butter products that are out there. Butter, unsalted butter. Okay. And my family, and when we compete, we use compound butters. So that is a great way to elevate that flavor. We don't want to hide the flavor of the beef, but we want to elevate that flavor. So I might take some shallots and garlic and saute them in olive oil. And then I'll mix it with a softened butter, unsalted, and whip it up and then wrap it in saran wrap. It'll keep in your freezer probably 3 months, but I'll just cut off little medallions and I'll place those on my steaks to rest, which is the most second most important thing that I'll give everybody out there. Let your meat rest. Always 10 minutes minimum after you bring it off the grill.
Okay, so we're talking about from the time I pull it off the grill and I've got it sitting on my cutting board, at least 10 minutes. Am I throwing aluminum foil over it? Am I doing anything other than just letting it sit there?
You know what? I'll throw one of those medallions of the compound butter on it, and then I'll loosely tent foil over it.
Okay.
Okay, because I want that steam to evaporate. Because you just worked really hard to bring it up to the temperature that you want, and it's going to carry over a few degrees. But if you're wrapping it tight in foil, it's going to continue the cooking process. And then you thought you were going to have a beautiful medium rare ribeye, and you take that out of the wrap, and it's past medium. Mm-hmm. So loosely cover that foil.
Okay, so when you say 10 minutes minimum, we're talking 10 minutes at room temperature. I mean, is there a magic number? Should I be aiming for 12 minutes? Am I looking at 1345? Or is there some way of saying the juices have settled? Is there some way for me to tell that?
I will be 100% honest with you. My resting time changes every time I cook. Uh-huh. And it just happens to do with, you know, the humidity in the air, or, you know, if we're competing and looking at temperature, ambient temperature outside, how long that steak's going to cook over. Because, again, the highest score that we get from a steak at a contest is perfect doneness, and that's medium. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to go over. I don't want to be under. So I'm using that rest time sometimes to get me a few extra degrees, or I want to stop that cooking process completely.
What is the temperature that you're getting the steak to? And we should have asked that right at the beginning.
Sure. So when I'm taking to a medium, I'm taking it about 135 to 136 degrees.
Okay. If you're going medium rare, for those people that are liking it a little bit more on the pink side.
About 127 degrees.
Okay.
I like that you say about, but it's a really specific number.
Well, I'll tell you, because every piece of meat cooks different. It's like, you know, JJ knows this from doing some judging and things. Every brisket that we cook cooks it just a little bit different.
Sure.
Every piece of chicken cooks a little bit different. And you get used to those things, and then you can build in consistency.
You got a favorite grill?
Oh, I love them all, actually. You know what? Weber grills. I have probably three of them sitting on my deck. Charcoal. I love them. I just picked up a C4 from M1 Grills, which is strictly just for competing in steaks. It's tiny, but I can get that thing soaring at 750 degrees.
Whoa!
Nice.
Yeah. So when I say that, and people are like, "Oh, I got to cook my steak at that," I never do. So the third best tip that I will give everybody out there: reverse sear your steaks. Okay.
Really?
So you're bringing it up the temperature slowly. Okay. And then you're bringing that steak off, letting it sit for about 5 minutes. And I really want to stop that cooking process because I just worked to get where I want it. And I heat that grill up. So 600 to 700 degrees. I'll spray it down with some duck fat and I'll put it on there and use a bacon press. You know, you can use a brick covered in foil, whatever you want. You want weight, you know, anywhere from 3 to 5 pounds. And that's how I'm getting beautiful grill marks.
Oh, interesting. Okay, Scott, let me ask you this, too. What do you, let's say you've got a fat cap on your ribeye, right? Like a nice side of fat. Are you doing anything to seal that up? Like, are you putting that up endwise on the grill at all? Or are you just letting that thing be?
You know what? There's cooks out there that do. I don't. I'll trim it down. There's enough intramuscular fat in a ribeye steak. I don't need the extra fat. And there's some things that we do we actually tie our steaks after we trim them so they won't fall apart. So we tie the outside perimeters, and we'll use steel pins to kind of hold all those muscles together. I know, we're nuts out there. It's crazy.
I mean, I love it. I thought I was dedicated with my one grill in the backyard. But it sounds like you're the guy who's really figuring it out for the rest of us.
So when you're in one of these steak competitions, are you making one steak or are you making multiple?
Great question. So when you select steaks and you draw a little poker chip, and it's like people that do fantasy football, it's a snake draft. So if you get number one, you go pick the very first steak,
nice.
And then you will also pick the very last steak. You get two steaks.
Mm,
and right there, you decide which one you want to turn in. We usually cook one for practice and to eat, obviously, but that's how we judge. When I was talking about ambient temperatures, humidity, those different factors that can change the way you cook, that first steak tells me what we're going to do.
Steak competitions must be different because I know, like, for the North Dakota barbecue competition, which Scott won so many times, they finally said, listen, you just become part of the planning committee, okay? we're gonna give you a new role. But with that, we're talking about sometimes almost, what, 18 hours for some of these teams from the time they first fire up their smoker or their grill. But with a steak competition, you're talking about a much shorter window, right?
Oh, it is so much less work, in my opinion. Most steak competitions are 4 hours long.
Oh,
and you guys cook steaks at home.
Yeah.
It's a pretty quick process. Even with our marinades or whatever, cooking two steaks, it's still pretty quick. So you get a lot of time to socialize and to learn from other cooks.
Yeah. So, okay, let's go back. Are you serving any sides at the steak competitions, just out of curiosity?
We do not. The judges get to eat a 1-inch by 1-inch cube. And depending how you place your steak in the container, because they cut the steak, the judge for doneness, and they cut horizontally across the middle. So how you select that. And they're eating up to 25 1-inch cubes.
Oh,
each
my
judge.
Gosh.
They don't have room for sides.
Right.
No way, man. No way. That's
there are
intense.
Other side categories. At contests, if organizers do, one of the biggest ones that was at the World Championships here about a month ago was Bloody Mary.
Oh,
you know, and they'll do pork
cool.
chop and they'll do some other things. But
very cool. That's I mean, I would love to go and see one of these. So who is judging them? Is it other people who, like yourself, just had won so many steak competitions, now they're judging them or what?
No, there is actually a certification process, just like Kansas City Barbecue Society. There's the SCA certification. You got to take a class where you get to eat some steak and to learn the judging criteria. So they're popping up really fast.
Okay, well, Amy, I'm going to need some vacation time because
I'm going to
do that, and then I'll hang it right next to my KCBS certification.
Love it.
Scott, before we let you go, you did mention that you had a great wing recipe, too. Let's throw that out there to folks.
God.
You got something good for us?
I do. You know what? This is a recipe we started playing around with probably last fall, and my kids are crushing it. So I love it. My wife loves it, but the kids are all over it. So pound of wings, pound and a half of wings. We're going to rub them with whatever you want. I mean, it doesn't really matter, but I would try to do an Italian style. Something with oregano and basil. Let that sit. When you put those on the grill, you're going to grill them about 350 degrees, and you're going to grill them down to about 5 minutes before they're done. In the house, 12 cloves of garlic, a stick-on salted butter, and I love to put in about a third of a cup of honey.
Mm.
And you melt that down. You want to cook it hot enough so it's very fragrant, and that garlic. 5 minutes before you're planning on being done, bring those wings in, throw them in a bowl, throw this sauce over them, spin them up really good, throw them back on the grill to caramelize. And I'm telling you, it's one of the best wings I've ever had.
Well, I know what I'm doing this weekend. Scott Thomason from Pig Tamer Barbecue. He's one of my favorite people out there because, well, every time I see him, he feeds me. So it's well worth the time. Scott, thank you so much for joining us on the Mighty 790. We appreciate it, buddy.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Always good stuff from Scott. And this segment of Foodie Friday brought to you by Prime Cut Meats. How appropriate if you're looking for something to throw on the grill. You need some of those wings or a steak so you can try out some of Scott's tips. You can head on over to Prime Cut Meats. You can also check out their specials at primecutmeatsfm.com. But good news, I'm going to tell you their specials right now here on KFGO.